Well, hello, advanced listeners, and welcome back to the third day of our career article for the month of September. And we have quite the career corner these last few days. On our first day, we were talking about how to have a better or healthier work-life balance, and we offered some tips to help you with that. I hope that's been something you've been reflecting on these last few days. How can you learn to unplug from your work and enjoy life a little bit more and have that balance a lot better? And then on the second day, we looked at how companies are wanting to improve employee engagement so that they have a stronger company, and also it helps the communities around them as well. And so I hope you enjoyed that article as well. Well, journeying with me over these 3 days have been two great panelists, and I want to welcome them back. Thank you for joining us again today, Albert.
Thank you for having me, and you have been such a great host.
Well, thank you. Oh, I'm going red. You can't see that on the radio, but thank you for that compliment.
Oh, yeah, so I really look forward to talking about today's article. But before that, I just want to recap or highlight one thing that I thought was really interesting from yesterday's article or show. If you guys haven't listened to it, I highly recommend go check it out on our website. And that is how companies, in a way to promote employee engagement, what they're doing is telling them to go do what they like, you know, that something that doesn't involve the company itself, which is like, I feel like really counter-thinking or something, counterintuitive. That's what I'm looking for. And so, you know, but it turns out, you know, this type of engagement works out, you know, for everyone involved. It's what they call a win-win, you know, for the employee, the community, and the company.
Right. Yeah, that's true. One of the ways we talked about enhancing employee engagement was also through employee volunteerism. Right. So we talked about that a little bit yesterday. But also joining me back for the third day is Tim. Tim, thanks for coming back.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me again. And yeah, I've actually learned a lot myself through these 2 days and today, 3 days. Like, I actually never realized how important it is to improve the engagement of employees. Mm. We said, like, there is, it improves up to 2 to 4 times to how successful a company or organization can be, you know, from the employee recruitment, retention, productivity, and ultimately the bottom line of the company.
Right.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see that.
Right, and I think that's something that a company can pay attention to. That's why this employee engagement is so important for them to invest time and energy into exploring, because it will help them in the end, not just their bottom line, like you mentioned, their retention, employees wanting to stay on at the company, the productivity that employees will give you while they're in your company. All these things are very important, and so companies, it's good to pay attention to that. And we learned yesterday, of course, like I mentioned, one of the ways was through employee volunteerism, but I'm sure that there are many different ways to increase employee engagement. So we welcome to hear back from you what has been something perhaps that you have experienced in your company, the way that your company engages your employees in a positive way. We would love to hear about your win-win situations. Well, we go on today to something quite different. We are looking at skilled immigrants. And skilled immigrants often struggle when they go to different countries. They have these different skills. They have different credentials. We learned that's one of our vocabulary focus words. That means their ability or their skill is through a degree or a certification of some kind. We find that for skilled immigrants, it's difficult or often difficult for them to find work when they go to a different country. And we're going to learn about why that is the case in our article for today. So if you have your advanced magazine, please open up to page 14 or join us on your electronic device, and we're going to start with our first reading for today.
Skill.
skilled immigrants often struggle to put degrees, credentials to use in U.S. Highly skilled immigrants often encounter a labyrinth of obstacles when they try to find jobs in the U.S., frustrating not only their ambitions, but also their earning potential as they settle for lower skill positions. President Donald Trump's support for merit-based immigration systems, like those used in Canada and Australia, could make it easier for immigrants with advanced educations and skill sets to enter the U.S. Trump praised those systems for adhering to a basic principle that those seeking to enter a country ought to be able to support themselves financially. But those already here say the expertise they brought with them to the U.S. often goes to waste. Lengthy recertification processes, language barriers, and employers' unfamiliarity with foreign credentials hobble immigrants' efforts to find work in their fields. They take jobs as janitors, babysitters, and valets to get by. The Migration Policy Institute, a nonpartisan research organization, calls it brain waste. Nearly 2 million college-educated immigrants and refugees in the U.S. are unemployed or working in low-skill jobs despite years of education and work experience.
Well, listeners, if you're just joining us, we're on the third day of our career article in the month of September, and we are looking at how skilled immigrants often struggle to put their degrees or credentials to use in the U.S. Now, what do we learn in this first sentence for today, Albert?
Right. So, you know, these immigrants, they're coming to the U.S. and they're encountering, or they want to come in, but they're encountering a labyrinth. Now, labyrinth is this really fun word that whenever I hear it, I think of this Greek story about the Minotaur. And there's like a labyrinth where, like, you know, he's trying to find you, and it's a maze, basically.
What's a Minotaur?
A Minotaur is a Greek mythology creature that's half bull, half human. So his upper torso is a bull, and he has like little horns, and he's, you know, it's a punishment. It's a form of punishment when you get sent to the labyrinth.
And this is a Greek mythology story?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Right, and here we're using it as something which is very confusing. It's a labyrinth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think labyrinth, I think confusing.
Okay.
Right? Often hard work, too.
Ooh.
Right? Like a maze, like you said, to get through. Hard work, don't know where you're going, don't know which direction to go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they often feel this way about the obstacles that they face when they're trying to find a job in the U.S., which does what to them, Tim?
It's frustrating. You know, like a maze, if you go the wrong way to go back, you know, it's taking double the time to reach where you started.
Right.
So it can be really frustrating. You know, just having all the degrees, all the experience you've put into, and, you know, starting from the, from scratch, basically, and trying to find their statistics, their character, their position in U.S.
Yeah, it says here it's frustrating not only their ambitions, but also their earning potential as they settle for lower skill positions. So often skilled immigrants have come to another country with a dream of doing well. Usually they're coming from a place where perhaps their country is not doing very well due to war or famine or whatever calamity they've encountered back in their home country. They're wanting a fresh start, and they have dreams to do well, to be successful. They have ambitions. So when they have these obstacles that they face, and many of them, as we've talked about, a labyrinth of them, then it frustrates them. So it frustrates their dreams, their ambitions, but it also frustrates their earning potential, which means that they realize they're not able to get a job with as high a salary as they had hoped. So they need to settle for lower skill positions. Well, what do we learn about the U.S. immigration system in this next sentence, Albert?
Well, President Donald Trump, you know, he supports for a merit-based fact-based immigration system like those used in Canada and Australia, and could make it easier for immigrants with advanced educations, such as those credentials that we're talking about, to enter the country.
Right. So a merit system is what President Donald Trump supports, which is being used right now in Canada, Australia. What that does is it gives you points for different things that you have, right? And, for example, if you have certain qualifications, usually it's in jobs that they need people in. So the country says, hey, we need more nurses, or we need more doctors, or we need more of this in our workforce. Then you get points if you have qualifications or skills in that area, which means you have perhaps the ability to get in the country a lot easier than other people due to those qualifications and skills. So that's what this merit-based system does, and he supports that. He says it could be easier, especially if you have an advanced education. What would be an example of an advanced education, Tim?
Engineering, mm-hmm. I would say, or like having a doctor's degree in something, you know, like you've done research and you have your own unique value.
Right. Yes. Good. Yes. So something that you specialize in, perhaps, and that country needs that. And so they are looking at using this system. It says Trump praised those systems for adhering to basic principle that those seeking to enter a country ought to be able to support themselves financially. And what do we mean when you're adhering to something, Albert?
You're gluing or sticking to something? No, it means to continue to obey a rule or a belief. I guess, you know, it's like every country would like it when people come that they're able to contribute and they're able to support themselves. You know, that'd be great.
Exactly, yes. And when we say contribute, means that they're able to use their gifts or their skills to help the country that they're going into. It says, but those already here say the expertise they brought with them to the U.S. often goes to waste. So we do have immigrants that are going into the U.S., skilled immigrants going into the U.S. that feel that their skills go to waste. What are some of the reasons they go to waste, Tim?
I think maybe they're not given the fair chance to prove themselves that they can do it. You know, that's why it says they have to go through recertification processes. So they already have a certificate in their home country, but U.S. they don't really approve that certification. So they need to recertify maybe a similar certificate.
Right. Yeah. Usually that's due to standards. Every country has different standards that they require from that job. Let's take example, a nurse. A nurse gets qualified in one country and oftentimes they need to recertify in another country. I know that happened for my mother. My mother, she became a nurse in Holland. When she immigrated to New Zealand, she needed to recertify to meet New Zealand standards. And also language was one of those things, because in Holland, well, they do get taught English at a very young age. But of course, New Zealand, being an English-speaking country, wanted to make sure that you have the ability to communicate clearly in English, the medical terms needed.
Right. And I wouldn't say, like, perhaps saying it, I wouldn't say it's unfair to recertify them. You know, it's a good idea to have everyone on the same level, mm-hmm. and communicating, you know, when they're in the same working environment.
Right.
But I will say that it seems like after they do go through the recertification process, it seems like they are not given the same consideration, because like, oh, English may not be their native language, but hey, they have this other advantage, you know, they speak two different languages and they can be used.
Right, and I think it goes on to say, employers' unfamiliarity with foreign credentials hobbles the immigrants' efforts to find work in their fields. So perhaps it's also the employer's unfamiliarity not only with what their accreditation is from another country, but also their ability to do something.
Right. I mean, like, as an expat in another country, you know, taking the time and effort to figure out, like, visa requirements and everything, it's, like, super difficult, right? And I imagine it would be even harder for a company that wants to hire people and pay taxes and stuff like that. It's probably something, like, maybe they don't have the time or effort to, and they would just rather hire someone that's local. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, these things are not made difficult by design, but ends up being difficult, like the government wanting you to do all the forms and everything.
Right. And I think in the case of, for example, a nurse, recertification is a good idea because we're talking about safety standards, right? So I can see how we would want, you would want everybody to be on the same page for that. But I think it's interesting that we say that the employer's unfamiliarity with foreign credentials hobbles immigrants' efforts. What does it mean to hobble, Tim?
To hobble is the same as to limit something or control the freedom of someone. So in a way, it's the unfairness. Like, they should be able to get a job, but they are limited to due to the things we were talking about before.
Right, the obstacles that they're facing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, what do they have to do instead, Albert?
Well, like we mentioned earlier, you know, now they have to take a lower skilled position with less earning potential, such as a janitor or what we call a custodian, a groundskeeper maybe, a babysitter, you know, people that watch over kids, or valets. And valets are people who help park cars or direct you to certain places.
And it says to get by. What does it mean to get by, Tim?
To get by is just to earn the minimum wage, you know, to pay your bills, but not really to save up any money.
Yeah, like on the first day, we had a term called make ends meet, right? So, yeah, similar idea, to be able to have enough money to pay for the things that you need. Well, we're introduced to the Migration Policy Institute, and who are they, Albert?
They are a nonpartisan research organization. Now, nonpartisan, kind of a big word, kind of difficult, but a person who is a partisan, they strongly support a person, principle, or political party. And a nonpartisan is, you know, people who are putting that aside. So we hear this a lot in the news, especially like during election year, where like senators or people are voting, you know, they're like, oh, I'm a nonpartisan, or I have a bill that, you know, should work for both parties involved in a country, usually when there's like different political parties involved. Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, the Migration Policy Institute calls these obstacles that skilled immigrants face, or the situation that they're facing, they call it brain waste, meaning that their skills are not being put to use. All those hours of education and their ability is not being put to good use. And this reminds me of another word that we often see in the news called brain drain.
Ooh.
Yeah, now brain drain is where there are many skilled people that leave a country, leave their home country to go find work in another country. And so often what happens is these skilled workers are actually needed in their home country, but they go to find work perhaps because there's a higher salary. But for whatever reason, the country loses a lot of their skilled and educated workers. And we call that brain drain. And that can play and can be very bad for the economy of a country. But here we're talking about brain waste, where the skilled immigrants are not being used to their potential. And we see nearly 2 million college-educated immigrants and refugees in the U.S. are unemployed or working in low-skilled jobs despite years of education and work experience. So what are some of the issues that need to be addressed? Well, let's look at our next reading for today.
Issues that need to be addressed. Some experts have reservations about a merit-based system. One concern is that focusing on highly skilled immigrants ignores the demand for lower-skilled labor, such as in agriculture, where employers say they struggle to draw a workforce. Yet, even for highly skilled immigrants, the system might not be as promising as it sounds. Even if Trump emphasizes an immigration system based on skills and education, officials will need to address how easily that experience can be put to use. Facing licensing tests that require hundreds of dollars, or having to repeat an entire course of study, many immigrants with advanced skills take lower-paying survival jobs to pay rent and buy groceries. The situation is not only demoralizing for immigrants, but robs communities of scarce skills, said Jean Batalova, a senior policy analyst at Migration Policy Institute. Ethnic communities are in particular need of professionals who can speak the language and understand cultural nuances in key fields like healthcare.
Well, listeners, we're looking at skilled immigrants and the obstacles that they face as they come into the U.S. We've seen that President Donald Trump has been looking at a merit-based system that other countries are currently using. Canada and Australia are using that. But we find that right now there's still a lot of immigrants that are unemployed or working in low-skilled jobs despite years of education and work experience. So some experts feel that there are things that need to be addressed or issues that need to be addressed. We see in our first sentence in this paragraph that some experts have reservations about a merit-based system. What does it mean when you have reservations about something, Albert?
Well, it's like you have concerns and you're holding back. You know, you're not fully in on it. So I have reservations about swimming in the ocean. That makes me scared.
Wow, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, like, I feel like I find it really interesting where, like, you know, the government or the current administration is arguing for a merit-based system, right? But it turns out it's not really working out for anyone because we have people coming in who are highly skilled, but due to the things that are stuck in between, you know, they're not getting to the places where we would like them to be, like being doctors or nurses, you know, where we need them or want them. And so conversely, it's like, oh, a merit-based system would leave out people who are like farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Not a knock against farmers, you know, totally respect them and what they do. You know, they feed us. But, you know, sometimes people, when they go to school, I feel like maybe they don't prioritize farming as their number one, especially in the West Coast and the East Coast.
Right. In fact, we see in this next paragraph that there is a demand for lower skilled labor in agriculture. That is why some experts have reservations about this merit-based system, because a lot of the merit-based system looks for highly skilled immigrants while ignoring the demand for lower skilled labor.
Mm-hmm.
And we see right now that actually in the agricultural industry, employers are struggling to draw a workforce. What do we mean when we draw something here? It says draw a workforce, Tim.
It's to recruit, you know, where you're trying to, it's not to draw as in to, like, paint, that kind of draw, but it's to pull in people to help. Yeah.
Good, yeah, attract some workers, right?
Ooh.
Yet even for highly skilled immigrants, the system might not be as promising as it sounds. We're talking about the merit-based system. And we, in the earlier paragraph, we talked about the different things that are causing them to be unsuccessful with the merit system. In fact, we see lengthy recertification procedures, perhaps language barriers or employers' unfamiliarity are causing some of those problems. And we go on to learn something else, Albert.
Right. So even if Trump emphasizes an immigration system based on skill and education, officials will need to address how easily that experience can be put to use. So basically, even if we're advocating or supporting for one system, right, there's the problem of putting it into execution, seeing it how it really plays out in the real world.
Right. And so we see that facing licensing tests, and that's another way to say recertification, that requires hundreds of dollars, so they have to pay a lot of money to be recertified, or having to repeat an entire course of study, so they have to go back to school. Many immigrants with advanced skills take lower-paying survival jobs to pay rent and buy groceries because they need to get by. They need to make ends meet. So they can't just afford to go back to school because they have oftentimes they have families to support as well. And so it can be very discouraging. What do we learn, Tim?
So it could be very demoralizing as well. So it's kind of like the opposite of what we read yesterday, is how to kind of encourage or get employees to be engaged in work. This is the opposite. It crushes their emotional So I think for immigrants it's not only demoralizing but also robs communities of scarce skills.
Exactly. And so we see that one of the ways to address this would be that ethnic communities need professionals who can speak the language that they speak and understand the cultural nuances in key fields like healthcare. So they need people to be a bridge between language and what is needed within these different industries, whether it's the healthcare industry, finance industry, whatever these advanced skilled immigrants have qualifications for. So we really need those bridges. Now, one of those is also language skills, right? So the fact that you are listening to advanced radio right now, you are already helping with that. If this is something you would like to do, is to travel to different countries or to see other parts of the world or even work in a different country, then keeping your English vocabulary up and up to date and relevant will help you as well. So we hope that you continue to join us here on Advanced Radio, that you learn about many of the different things that are happening around the world through Advanced Magazine, and make sure you come back next time to join us for more programs. But for now, this is Amanda,
Tim,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.